God, you are holy, you are whole. You are always ever more than we ever understand. Be present to us this morning through your living, life-giving, transforming word. Amen. Well, if you have been in worship the past 3 weeks, whether it's been here or up at Holden Village, where some of us were last week, you have heard Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. 2 weeks ago, our Tuesday Bible study group responded to Pastor Wendell's challenge to read the whole Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, from beginning to end. Since then, we have returned to the beginning to study it in sections. This coming week, we will be looking closely at the gospel text from last Sunday and this Sunday that we just read. So if you're available on Tuesday afternoon and are up for this challenge, come and join us in the fireside room at 1 o'clock. As we heard last week's passage and now have heard this week's passage, perhaps your first response is similar to mine. Just when we thought the Christian life could not become more difficult, Jesus seems to raise the bar so high that it becomes truly impossible. He begins each teaching in this section with, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Then, zinger of all zingers, today's reading ends with Jesus saying, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus, 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 what were you thinking? What are you thinking? After years of contemplation, I have come to the conclusion that my confusion, and perhaps that of many others, has not always led to a clear hearing of gospel good news in Jesus' words in these passages. Instead of hearing Jesus' words as words of liberation, hope, and new life, I have often in the past heard them as words which reflect what a failure I am in the face of impossible expectations. I say this because I have been and still am a recovering perfectionist. Just as an alcoholic acknowledges their name and identity as a person in bondage to alcohol through an Alcoholics Anonymous gathering, in a gathering of Perfectionists Anonymous, I would have to acknowledge my bondage to the seductive power of perfection. It's important for you to know that I have grown up with an understanding of perfection as it's defined in any contemporary dictionary as that which is entirely without flaws, defects, or shortcomings. To be perfect is to be accurate, exact, and correct in every detail. This is a heavy, impossible burden to carry, especially when it's combined with another one of my personality traits, which is procrastination. Perfectionism and procrastination are not a good combination. Once, when these two characteristics came to a nasty collision in my life, is when I was in college and doing a large assigned project for my calligraphy class. Of course, I was working the night before it was due. Now, Kathy Scroggins knows, and anyone else who has tried their hand as a scribe knows, that when doing calligraphy, one is so intently focused on individual letters that it is easy to sometimes omit a letter, word, or even a line in the process. Calligraphers don't see, they don't see words or sentences because they are looking at the letters. So it was when I was halfway through my project after having probably spent a couple of hours on it already, I misprinted a letter. Starting over at that point was not really an option. When using permanent inks and special expensive paper, erasing or covering up one's mistakes are not options. After somewhat recovering from the horror of what I had done, it occurred to me that I could make a decorative flourish out of my mistake. And so I did. The next day in class, everyone had to share their project and have it evaluated by the teacher and the other members of the class in regards to the quality of the design, spacing, and letter forms. When I presented my project, I made no allusion to the mistake I had made. Yet after a couple of people, including the teacher, commented on the creativity and placement of the decorative flourish, I confess to what really had happened. I had messed up. Yet out of that mistake and mess came beauty. For the 12 of us who went to the women's retreat at Holden Village this past week, beautiful mess was our theme. So any of us can tell you more about that if you're interested. Back to my story, though, for now. The college experience I shared was just one of many experiences I have had both before and after that time, which have forced me to come to terms with my tendency to be a perfectionist. Thus, it was extremely helpful this week to be reminded that when Jesus is speaking about perfection at the end of the 5th chapter of Matthew, his words and what he is saying is a bit lost in translation. The Greek word, which is translated as perfect, is teleos and is based on a word that refers to an end or a goal. It infers a completeness or a maturity. In his commentary on this passage, biblical scholar Robert Smith said, "To be perfect means to grow up into full stature as a person of God. It is to reach the high goal of a rich, deep sharing in the life of God. It is the opposite of hypocrisy. God is perfect, complete, or mature because in God's goodness, God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. God sends rain on behalf of the righteous and the unrighteous. God does not show partiality. Thus, what Jesus is summoning us to be at the end of Matthew is to be good, compassionate, and loving as our God is good, compassionate, and loving. Oftentimes, this means admitting our shortcomings and seeking God's favor, God's forgiveness, and God's goodness. So therefore, we can do this and be this, not because we are flawless or without faults and shortcomings. We can do this because God takes our messes and makes beauty from them. Through compassion and love, God makes the impossible possible. God places us in community so that we might call forth beauty and goodness from one another. God binds us together and makes an artistic, strong, and resilient collage that is light to the world and salt of the earth. Martin Luther is quoted as having said, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness, not health, but healing, not being, but becoming, not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified." So it is that we are on a journey towards God's end, towards God's perfection, which brings together our words and our actions, our hearts and our heads, our intellect and our compassion. It heals us and makes us whole. So it is today that we find joy and gratitude in welcoming new members to join us in this beautiful mess, to join us in this extraordinary, impossible, compassionate perfection that is God's doing and not ours. So, Shelley, Gabri, Linda, and Joel, welcome. At our 11 a.m. worship, we will welcome Lois, Don, Carol, Nancy, and Jim. We are blessed indeed to be on this journey together and to have your faces, your voices, hands, and hearts join us to add your gifts, helping us to achieve greater wholeness. Thanks be to God. Amen.